don't know why I came in this club with you, girl. Don't know why I came in with the diamonds on my chain. Surrounded by bad bitches, I can't get them out my face. Is it cause a nigga handsome and wealthy? Is it cause a nigga cook like a professor? I don't know how you feel, can you tell me? I won't know how you feel till you tell me.
Can you tell me?
Is it cause a nigga handsome and wealthy? Is it cause I'm a star?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Mr. Tariq Elite, and welcome to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am ready to chop up some good game. Ladies and gentlemen, glad to have everybody tuning in. Got a nice fly show today. I got my man Killer Mike, hip-hop artist, going to be calling in shortly. And a lot of good stuff I want to talk about, but before we get into that, we're going to take a very quick, and I mean very quick, commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. And don't you move a muscle. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, on the Tariq Elite Show. Step your game up and get your tickets to the Manhood and Game Seminar happening in Times Square, New York, August 31st, 2014. Speakers include dating coach Mr. Licario, Royal Flyness, and Tell E. The seminar is designed to teach men about the dating game and about manhood. You're going to learn how to value yourself as a man, how to attract beautiful women, and how to stay focused and handle your business and make money, and much, much more. Space is limited, so get your tickets now at MrLicario.com. And you spell that MRLOCARIO.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, ready to chop up some real good game on today's show. Now, before I get into the game, a lot of y'all have been asking about a Mackish package. We need a new Mackish package. You guys have been demanding a brand new Mackish package, and I've been saying I'm going to do a Mackish package for the back-to-school season. And a lot of people are going to be starting school next week, going back to high school, college, junior high, all that stuff. So we're going to have a three-day Mackish package starting this Thursday. Thursday to, I'd say, Sunday night. Thursday to Sunday night. I think the sale will end Sunday night. So tomorrow, which is Thursday, the 28th of August, you guys can get the Mackish package, and the last day will be Sunday night. So it's a three-day, how many days is that? 3 or 4 days? I think that's 3 days. It's going to be very limited. You can only get it this weekend. And let me tell you what you're going to get with this Mackish package. Very good deal. I had to think about it because we've had some very good Mackish package deals, so I had to make this one real fly. So this is what you're going to get for this year's Mackish package for the back to school season. You're going to get the Flex Boots, the brand new Tariq Elite Flex Boots. The real fly boots, they're real nice. You're going to get that. You're also going to get the International Sunglasses. Now those two things alone are almost $200, by the way. Those two things alone. So like I said, you're going to get the Flex Boots, the International Sunglasses. You're going to get the Heraldry t-shirt in whatever color we have in stock. You're going to get the Cooperate t-shirt in whatever color we have in stock. You're going to get the Live in New York DVD, my lecture DVD. You're going to get the Eugenist DVD. You're going to get the Mac Lessons DVD. And you're going to get all of this. Those are 7 items. You're going to get all that for just $99, ladies and gentlemen. When I say you can't beat that, that's a sale for your ass. You can't beat that, family. That's damn near giving it away for free. All you're doing is paying for the shipping. That's how much I love you guys and respect you. I give great deals like that. That sale, $99 Mackish package, you can't beat that. That's basically free stuff and you're just paying for the shipping. That's going to be starting tomorrow, ending Sunday night. Take advantage of that now. You're going to get that at TariqRadio.com. We're going to have a special button on the top of the page at TariqRadio.com where you can make the purchase, and that will be up tomorrow. That's Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. The Flex Boots, International Sunglasses, Heraldry T-shirt, Cooperate T-shirt, Live in New York DVD, Eugenics DVD, Mac Lessons DVD, $99, family. You can't beat that. Now, let's get into some game. Now, what I want to talk about, because I got my man Killer Mike, he's going to be calling in a little bit later. I want to talk about this ALS challenge and black folks. A lot of black people are getting into this ALS challenge. And notice the term challenge. I've seen a lot of A-list black celebrities saying that such and such person challenged them to do the ALS ice thing. And the ALS challenge is basically, ALS is a disease. It's basically Lou Gehrig's disease. And what people are doing, they're raising awareness and raising money, quote unquote, for this disease by pouring buckets of ice over their heads. And they're doing this to raise awareness, quote unquote, for this disease. And I was talking about this on my social media, that there are an unusual amount of black people being challenged and encouraged to do this. And why? We have to look into why they're doing this. Because you have to understand, I don't believe in coincidences, and the timing of this is very interesting. The timing is extremely interesting. Because all of these A-list black people, entertainers, sports figures, comedians, a lot of black people are doing this. And a lot of these same black people, they've said nothing about Ferguson, the situation happening in Ferguson, which is very pertinent to the black community. And I think that's very inappropriate. That's extremely inappropriate. Now, a lot of black people will use the argument, I mean, come on, Tariq. It's all about unity, man. We can fight for other people's diseases, because this ALS disease, a lot of people don't know, it only affects 93%. The 93% of the people that affect are white. So, but 7% black people get this thing? So this is primarily what would be classified as a white disease. 93% of people who get ALS are white. And I bring that up to say, it's very interesting that a lot of black people are doing this challenge. Now, when you call black people out on doing this, all of a sudden, especially on social media, there's a lot of black people lying, talking about all of a sudden they got an uncle or cousin who's dying of ALS. So every black person who's been called out on it, they got a cousin or an aunt or an uncle who has ALS. A lot of this, they're just trying to save face. But this disease affects 93% white people. 93% of the people, that's what I mean. 93% of the people who get it are white. So why are so many black people getting into this ALS challenge? The timing is very interesting, because the thing is, because of the Ferguson situation, the international community is looking at America right now. The international community is looking at America like, what the fuck is going on with you and your white supremacy problem over there? The international community is looking at America now like, hey, what's up with all this, all these black people getting killed by cops? What's up, America? You're supposed to be the beacon of democracy, and you going pointing your fingers at us and all that shit, and y'all over there killing innocent black people. What's up? Y'all killing innocent teenagers? What's up? That's not a good look, America. What's going on with you? So you even have human rights people coming in from the international community investigating America right now, seeing what's happening, seeing what's going on. And in many cases, when you have abused stepchildren, you gotta save face. America treats black people like abused stepchildren. Like, you put on a game face publicly, but behind closed doors, you beating the shit, raping, molesting, stomping out the stepchildren. And when you get called out for doing that, you gotta go out there and save face. And this ALS challenge thing and getting so many black people involved, that's a way for this country to save face. The timing of this is very interesting. Right when the Ferguson thing is going on, instead of encouraging people to bring justice to to the city of Ferguson and arrest that cop who committed those murder, that murder, which is exactly what it was. Instead of rallying with black people to do that, because the people who are in some of these marches, they're not really rallying for that. Because if you are rallying for that, you could get it done. People in the dominant society, they can get stuff done if they want to get it done. That cop, if people really wanted that cop arrested, those in the dominant society could make that happen. But those in the dominant society, they're raising money for that guy. The cop, Darren Wilson, who shot Mike Brown, they're raising hundreds of thousands of dollars for this dude. And they're very specific about why they're raising the money. Because when people start saying it's not about race, look at some of the websites and the funding page that they had to take the comments down from. The funding page, it was on a website called GoFundMe. People raised damn near $500,000 for Darren Wilson. And the comments they made, they were very specific as to why they were making the contributions. They were saying, we're giving $100 because we're glad he's getting rid of the niggas. He's taking out the trash. We need more officers like him who will kill these niggas. They were very specific about why they were giving Darren Wilson that money. They made no bones about their intentions and their support of him and why they were supporting him. See, the white supremacists are getting very bold. So again, to save face, now that the international community is looking, a lot of black people who have access to the media and the spotlight, they're forced to save face and act like everything is okay. So now, instead of them saying, hey, we got this situation in Ferguson, you got black people out here skinning and grinning, talking about, hey, let's do the ALS Ice Challenge, like everything is all fun and games. And again, people from the top made them do that. They're being forced to do that. Basically, it's like a mafia move. They're giving them an offer they can't refuse. So if you get some top executive at a movie studio saying, hey, A-list black actor, I challenge you, look at the words, I challenge you, half joking, half seriously, to do this ice challenge for a disease that affects our community. And a black A-list celebrity is like, what? Well, you know, you got your new movie coming up and you want to promote it, right? You want us to renew your contract, so just do this ice challenge for us. You know, we look out for you, look out for us. It's that type of thing that's going on. So now you got all these so-called happy black people pouring ice on their heads, making it seem like nothing's wrong. That stuff like that always happens when you have a situation where you're being dominated. Black people are being dominated and controlled. You're dominated by white supremacy, and a lot of black folks don't want to acknowledge that. And you're forced to save face. Yo, the same thing happened down in Jonestown, Guyana, when they had the white male cult leader named Jim Jones, who was from the Bay Area. He was a white man, psychopath, cult leader, preacher, had a congregation of black people. And black people have this thing, they will follow white people to their damn death. Especially white supremacists. Black people will follow a white supremacist to their death. And Jim Jones, this, and I ain't talking about the rapper Jim Jones, there's a real guy named Jim Jones. Had the People's Temple, some shit like that. And what he did, Jim Jones, had all these black people in the Bay and all over the place. He had all of these people move down to Guyana, South America with him, to this, in this village, in this jungle, to live as a big, happy community. And when certain people in the media went down there to Jonestown, this happened in the late 70s, they went down there because they kept hearing reports of people being abused and people being forced to be down there. When the media came down there, Jim Jones and his henchmen, because they had armed guards out there with their guns low-key trained on the congregation, making everybody smile and act like everything was cool. So when the media went down there to investigate, everybody, all the black people, were smiling and singing and laughing and joking. And Jim Jones was like, hey, see, there's no problem here. Everybody's fine. Everybody's happy. We love it down here. I don't know what y'all talking about. People down here just having a good time. And what happened was one black person slipped somebody in the media a note. There's one black person who was scared, but they were bold enough to slip somebody a note. They slipped a reporter a note and said, hey, man, get us the fuck out of here. This shit is not the business. They making us act like everything is cool. This shit is hell. Help us. Help. They slipped a note to the media. And the media, we're going to go back and alert the authorities. Jim Jones' people found out that the media got hip to what they were doing, and then they started shooting reporters, and then all hell broke loose. And before the media could come down there and authorities could come down there and start busting Jim Jones's ass, what he did, he coached all those black people to commit mass suicide. It was the Jonestown tragedy. Y'all look that up. Some of y'all know about that, but they all committed suicide down there before the authorities could get to them. So again, this just shows a lot of black people will follow some of these white supremacists to their death. A lot of us, we do inappropriate things. And in the situation we're in with Ferguson, this is something that we need to acknowledge, because there's going to be more Fergusons. It's not really about Ferguson, because this week it's Ferguson. Last week it's Florida, Sanford, Florida. The next week is another part of Florida. The next week, it's Staten Island with Eric Garner. The next week, it's Oakland with Oscar Grant. So it's not about the location. This is about systematic white supremacy. We live in a system of white supremacy, and we're not dialoguing with each other about what we need to do to protect ourselves from these radical white supremacists who are now starting to take us out violently. We keep deflecting away from that. Deflecting away from your problems, that's not going to solve your problems, and it's not going to make it stop. We keep having inappropriate reactions to real issues. When it comes time to say, hey, look, we got systematic white supremacy. White supremacists are supporting each other in killing random black people. You got black people out here talking about, well, what about black on black crime? We be killing ourselves. That's a coon response. You're a coon if you say shit like that. Because black on black crime, which there is no such thing. If there's black on black crime, there's white on white crime. White people kill each other at the same rate, ladies and gentlemen. So acting like there's this marginalized black on black crime that's out of the norm, it's the same crime rate as all other crimes from different races. One has nothing to do with the other. So-called black on black crime has nothing to do with what happens in Ferguson. That's a deflection. When people start playing the Chicago card, when you start talking about systematic white supremacy and people start talking about, well, what about Chicago? What about Chicago? What does Chicago have to do with Ferguson? Black people in Ferguson are not responsible for what happens in Chicago. As a matter of fact, in Ferguson, the murder rate is extremely low. Mike Brown shouldn't have been killed. What does that have to do with some black on black crime? There was one murder in Ferguson this year. You know who it was? Mike Brown. Mike Brown was the only murder in the city of Ferguson this year. So miss me with that black on black crime murder shit. We got a problem with systematic white supremacy. And deflecting away from that, that's not going to stop the problem. And the thing is, we keep having these inappropriate responses to it. Because let me tell you something. If there was a black person or a black cop who shot an innocent, white, unarmed teen, the last thing those in the dominant society will do is pour buckets of ice on their heads for sickle cell. They ain't gonna do that. They're gonna seek justice. And you know what? The irony of this whole ice bucket pouring the water on your head thing, the irony is, and I talked about this on my Facebook and I posted up a picture from a newspaper clipping from the 1800s. The irony of this is, so many black people are doing this ice bucket challenge. In America, they used to kill black prisoners, black convicts, by sitting them in a chair and drowning them by pouring buckets of water over their heads. That's how they would kill black convicts in America. That's where that waterboarding thing started. because they practice a lot of their torture on black folks. And I posted a newspaper clipping from the 1800s that shows this. I posted that up on my Facebook page and people went nuts. I mean, that thing went viral. It got like a million shares almost. The white supremacists were really pissed because they hate when you bring up their past. They hate that. There were a lot of black people out here buck dancing and caping because a lot of black people who think that if they buddy up with those in the dominant society, that's going to lessen the effect of white supremacy on them. And it doesn't work that way. Because I've had a lot of black people say, hey, come on, man, we can fight for both. We can fight for Ferguson and we can fight for ALS and all that. Dude, my thing is this. Take care of your business first. Handle what you need to handle first. Don't be pouring no damn buckets of ice on your head for some shit that really doesn't affect you. And you got cops all around the country blowing black people's brains out at the drop of a hat. And you're going to pour a bucket of ice over your head for a disease that you ain't going to even get? That's inappropriate. Handle yours first, then we can worry about somebody else. You ain't doing nothing to help nobody else. See, people will buddy up with you, black folks, only when it benefits them. You see that dynamic? We have a serious situation of police officers blowing black people's brains out, choking black people out, innocent black people. And they'll join with you, those in the dominant society, to help them in their causes. That just shows you the mentality right there that we have. It's inappropriate, family. Take care of what's going on with yourself first. When we get justice for all these black people getting unjustly killed and executed by random white supremacists disguising themselves as cops, then talk to me about pouring some ice on your head for some disease that we can't get. I'll pour all types of ice on my head when we get some of these cops arrested. When we start getting justice when it comes to cops harming black people legally and getting away with it and not being punished. We got a race problem in this country and we're not acknowledging that. Putting your head in the sand, that's not going to stop it. Now, there was a lot of people hitting me up on the people in the dominant society upset saying, well, come on, Tariq, man. A disease knows no color, man. You're just keeping the racial aspect of everything up. Diseases know no color. Well, obviously a disease does know a color because you got Ebola out here killing all of these African people. And then when two white people get it, magically they find a cure for it. You notice that? Two white people got Ebola. So-called missionaries over there, quote unquote, helping African people. They caught Ebola. Magically, they come up with a goddamn cure within days. Look that up if you think I'm exaggerating. There were these two missionaries, these two white missionaries on TV. Yeah, I feel great. I had Ebola last week and they cured it and I feel great. So I don't want to hear all that diseases have no color. They do have a color. Let's be very clear. And again, my whole point is that we have to get our shit together first. We got a race problem in this country. That problem is white supremacy. We got to do what we have to do to counter that and replace that system with a system of justice and also protect yourself. We got to protect ourselves. That's why I've been chopping up game with different politicians out there in Ferguson. I've been chopping up game with politicians in St. Louis. And we're putting some stuff together. We still got the hashtag recall for Mike. Recall the number 4, Mike. Y'all retweet that hashtag because we're talking about politicizing a lot of black folks down there, getting them registered to vote so we can get some of these people out of office. And again, I've been chopping up a lot of game privately with some of the politicians down there in Ferguson, coming up with strategies on what we need to do down there. So we're getting it popping. Recall for Mike. All right, speaking of Mike, we're going to get my man Killer Mike, rap artist from ATL. We're going to get him on the phone. He's calling in right now. Killer Mike is the truth. Very underrated, brother. Killer Mike is very underrated. That brother is the truth. So let's get him on the phone right now, ladies and gentlemen. All right, what's up, man? We got my man Killer Mike on the phone. What's going on with you, fam?
Hey, Tariq, how you doing, brother?
I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling. You still out here in L.A.?
I am. I'm leaving tomorrow. Got to get home. The kids are in school. They're like, Dad, you ain't been home yet. So I got to get home and be a dad and kick it with them.
No doubt. Now, what you working on right now?
Well, I'm out here. I'm promoting. We just finished our summer touring cycle. Me and an artist by the name of LT, who's a rapper and producer. We have a group called Run the Jewels. So we ended playing the L.A. Coliseum. Is it the L.A. Coliseum? Well, they had the Olympics in '88. Played there,
yeah.
Which was a dream come true. We did that, and then I stayed. I did a Fox News segment. I recorded with No ID, and I just finished recording some cool stuff with my man Alchemist, man. So just out here working, man. No. Thinking about making a move out here for a year, and you know, just putting in some heavy work out here. I like the weather.
No doubt, no doubt. How'd you like Roscoe's?
Man, I like Roscoe's, man. That's the one I like going to, too. The one over in Englewood, man. The staff over there, nice. Everybody be super cool. So I'm down with some Roscoe's fried chicken. It makes you stay on the treadmill a little longer, but it's definitely worth it.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Man, so, man, the hot topic right now, man, and I know a lot of people have been talking to you about the situation in Ferguson, and I want to chime in on that. Now, what's your thoughts on that right now, man, and just the reaction that's been happening with Ferguson, and not just Ferguson, because this is a thing that's been happening all over the country. What's your thoughts on this whole thing with, I hate to even use the term police brutality. I look at it as a whole problem of systematic white supremacy, but that's me. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, definitely white supremacy can use the police and many other things to further oppress, but I think that in terms of responding to that oppression, I can't respond to it just racially, because I know that systematically the same thing that uses white supremacy that to oppress, uses misogyny to oppress, uses classism to oppress, it uses all these things to oppress. It's just that you can't hide the fact it's black. And that's why when I make the statement, whatever they do to the least of us, they'll do it to us all. And in the eyes of law enforcement, it's very obvious and it's very intuitive that black men are looked at as the least in terms of how they deal with them. They don't honor their civil rights. They don't honor their constitutional rights. They don't honor their basic human rights in these cases where black boys are slaughtered. Right. But I say that more than just a black problem. That is a constitutional problem, because as a black person, what's really happening is you're being denied a constitutional right. You are black, and global systematic racism affects you. But beyond that, you are an American, and in this country, you are promised a set of rights that no other black person on the face of the earth, even a lot of black people in black countries, don't have the amount of rights you do. And when people say, well, we free other places, we can vote other places, this is the only place in the world black people are this free to arm themselves. And I hold very true to the Second Amendment because of that. My father was a former police officer, and I explained that in detail in a few other interviews. But for me, this is about black people being denied your constitutional rights. And because of that, I definitely advocate that, first of all, you need to get out from some black shooting clubs, some black gun clubs. You need to join the NRA and mass numbers and start listening to brothers like Colin Dortu. And you need to start making sure that you are protected and your own neighborhoods are protected. Because not only can you not protect the wild kids sometimes that are hanging out on the block or protect yourself from them, it seems now that you have to go and protect yourself from these folks. So I would advocate that our brothers and sisters who know that because of your race, it's easier to commit these things to you or on you. I would also encourage you to make a part of your argument that you are breaking what the Constitution gave me and what being born as American.
Now you brought up
that to death. Be okay. Willing to.
So you brought up the NRA. Now some people will argue, Mike, because I've heard this argument brought up. The NRA, they are real big on talking about big government and the militarization of police, and they're very anti that.
And then they no show in Ferguson.
But they
I was talking to a professor friend of mine, Dr. Joycelyn Wilson, who's at VT about that. And I'm going to tell you, that's why I joined and not why I won't join. I joined because I want the same accident insurance my white gun owners have. I joined because I want the same say over keeping the Second Amendment wide open so it's legal for me and all my country black brothers to have guns to fish hunt or just defend ourselves or just because we want them. But I want more black people to join the ranks so that I won't be alone in my complaining, and Colin won't be alone in his educating, that if you are down for the demilitarization of police, you got to be down for it in Salt Lake City, Utah, El Paso, San Antonio, and Houston, and Dallas, and Atlanta. And if you're not down with it like that, then you become a hypocrite, and it's a need for another organization. But right now, I think that there's transformative things that can happen within that organization, and I suggest people join. And I suggest people transform that organization because you have the ability to.
Yeah, you know, hey, man, there's some brothers and sisters down there in Texas. They got an organization, the Huey P. Newton Gun Club. Those brothers out there doing open carry markets, man. I salute those brothers and sisters, man.
Absolutely. That's absolutely.
We need to be on that. Now, why do you think, man, just really heavily in the last year or so, in your opinion, these shootings of, and not just shootings of black men, black women have been getting beat up by cops, man. It has turned up
just
volume 10 in the last year or two. What do you think that is?
Well, I mean, it's just in Macon, unfortunately, a woman in Bibb County, about an hour south of Atlanta, was just killed. I think that's a primary, secondary, and tertiary answer. The primary answer is the system is abusing citizens, period. Because it's women, black women. It's also white women, too. It's also Asian women, too. It's also anybody in direct conflict with one. You're dealing with a Gestapo-like mentality. We're suffering first and most and worst because we're the easiest to abuse because of this propaganda campaign.
Right.
When you start yelling this black-on-black violence, that's why they can do it. What you're doing is giving people permission to abuse you because they presume you abuse each other. And you don't realize 85% of all crimes that happen against people happen against people of the same color because geographically that's where they live at.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you giving people excuse and you giving people reason and you giving people permission to abuse you and others that look like you by telling them, oh, we wilder, oh, it's worse. No worse. You know worse or wilder than anybody else.
Absolutely.
Crime in America is at a 20-year low. But we're giving them permission. I'm not saying it's right. You realize what the system is doing. But again, you got to be active in the system, man. Black people and black men especially. You got to get out of the barbershops talking. You got to become a part of your local. You got to become a part of your local political landscape. You got to be in there, right next to people voting. You got to be right there complaining. It is time to organize and structure new organizations or overtake the old organizations you already a part of, whether it was NAACP, SCLC, whatever. It's time to have a different thinking, a different mentality.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that works in Atlanta might not necessarily work in Los Angeles. The brothers in Los Angeles go militant. They'll circle the police, say, you got to let him go.
Yeah.
You know, in Atlanta, they're a little more mild. They finesse game now. They talk because they got black people from the police chiefs to the mayor. So there's going to be different strategies, but we're going to have to come up with a different process of communication. We can't only communicate on public airways. Well, I love what the brother Tariq does. I love what a lot of the brothers are doing publicly, but we still need some secrets amongst us, and we need to retreat to that. But going to church on Sunday or mosque, or synagogue, or whatever you go to, and have those other conversations and do things effectively. If you start affecting the voting process, I heard about people talking about they're doing a Blackout Monday. A Blackout Monday is cool in terms of not spending your dollar, but it's time to stop spending your dollar, period.
Yes, indeed.
It's time to take your dollar and hold your dollar hostage until you get some satisfaction.
Absolutely.
You know, and if you don't do that, you're a fool because that's the only tool you truly have because you spend more money than anybody else. And it's time to attack the merchant class. Well, Michael, what do you mean attack the merchant class? Well, the way that you stop being a nuisance and looked at as a loiterer in front of a storefront, because I own a barbershop, I own a storefront. The way you stop doing that is to become owners of storefronts. And then once you become owners of storefronts, some brother that's getting out of jail from sentences and reduced drug crimes, thank God, that's a whole entrepreneurial mindset you have here in the streets. It's time to start going to their candy stores, to their bodegas, to their gas stations. It's time to exclusively start shopping with people who look like you and who will hire people who look like you. And that ain't saying you don't like nobody else. That's just saying I like me best. I like me first. I got to make sure the community can take care of itself. It's time you start begging people to see you as human and acting as human beings.
Now,
what, one another.
Now, when you say that, Mike,
the way you do this.
Real talk. And when some people will hear that and they'll be like, well, Killer Mike, that sounds like reverse racism. Why can't we just all get along? We're human. Why just shop with other blacks? If I as a white person did it, I would be called racist, wouldn't I? Have you heard that logic?
I mean, I've heard a lot of things said, but most stuff like that I just don't have time to listen to, because I have friends of multiple ethnicities. Mm-hmm. I have friends that are East Indian. I have friends that are Korean. I have friends that are Japanese, Chinese. I have friends that are white. And they don't have to tell me to do it. I see them do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, they don't have to. You know, I know the difference between a bum deli and a great Jewish deli, because my Jewish friends takes me to this Jewish deli that's owned by the Jewish guy that tells me why a pastrami sandwich is great and teaches me the greeting. That's how I learned the greeting shalom for my Jewish friends, and sitting around and learning about their experiences. How did I learn about Korean barbecue and the Korean experience in America, and what it was like being an immigrant and having to build up your own community in L.A.? My Korean friends told me that. Mm-hmm. You know, Hannah Kane from Grand Hustle, she teaches me about the culture of Korea. So my thing is, I want to emulate successful people. Dr. John Henry Clark said that. He said, you know, African Americans, man, we have to learn. And people throughout the diaspora emulate successful people. And he specifically talks about the Japanese fallout after World War II. The Japanese were decimated. They were decimated. The country had an atomic bomb dropped on them. They weren't allowed to have an army. All their resources they had been stripped. So they determined. They became a determined people. They started applying themselves first in trades. They became builders of cars, of lawnmowers, of motorcycles. They started becoming smarter because they started applying themselves in terms of learning. Yeah. And within 30, 40 years, they had bounced back. And now they own virtually your car industry. Or you ain't driving a big, fancy, expensive American car.
Mm-hmm. That's real talk.
You know, so for me, is when are you going to get determined? I don't care what you call it. I just care that black people are succeeding. Because the quicker you can get on your feet, the quicker we can get on our feet, the less of a nuisance we are to other people. And these type of things don't happen as often.
Why do you think?
Because they can't happen to a people who's standing on their own.
Exactly. Why do you think that a lot of us in the black community, a lot of black people, just don't, I hate to say, don't seem to have the desire to own anything? Where do you think that comes from?
I think we just don't know we can, and we think it's hard. I talked to, the Republicans are talking about putting, I think, about $2 million, Juan Williams' son, Rafi Williams, they were talking about, I think, putting a couple million dollars in Rafi's control, possibly, to go find out how Republicans can get the black vote. And I reached out, because I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. I don't care if you're communist or socialist. I don't care what you are.
Right.
I care that you can possibly benefit the situation of black people, so on the world stage we become a respected people and a viewed as human beings and our rights and honor. I care about that.
Right.
So I reached out to Rafi and I said, hey, Rafi, if you're serious about this, then I'm just going to be frank with you. You're not going to get the black woman's vote. That's never in the world going to happen, at least for the next four, 8 to 16 years. So why don't you try to split the vote in half or reawaken the black male vote? And the way you reawaken the black male vote is you take that $2 million, you go directly in the barbershops. And you create a campaign that funnels men into trade opportunities. Farmers funnel them into skilled labor, and you give them an opportunity to become merchants. You give them an opportunity to start setting up any system where they can start to own small stores, the bodegas, the gas stations in their community. If you start having that conversation, you'll start having and pulling a greater vote, and you start talking about entrepreneurship and going through the conversation honest and say, hey, man, we got some racism in our party, and that's what it was, but this is what it is. If you start the conversation like that, if you do those things and help these men realize that they can be the leaders of the household, they can be the breadwinners, you help these men also understand that they can potentially create their own merchant class for their community, men and women at that, you're going to pull folks out of the black community as easy as it is to pull roses out of botanical gardens.
Absolutely.
But you have to be really committed to doing it.
Absolutely. And the Democrats take our votes for granted. They've really taken our votes for granted now. And
everybody takes a girl for granted who's always there.
And, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Most definitely. You know? That's why I've been
so
talking.
You gotta create a sense of jealousy, man. You gotta be unpredictable.
Yes, indeed.
You know, men chase unpredictable.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, yeah, you did. That's why I've been talking to politicians privately down in Ferguson in St. Louis and just chopping up game. And we're talking about getting with some Republicans and seeing what they can bring to the table. We're having a serious dialogue about that. So we're getting this political game really, really popping down there. And we got to get more politically minded and always have an agenda, not just vote just for the sake of voting, but vote with money and vote with an agenda so we can actually get stuff done. So that's where our mindset should be right now, as far as I'm concerned. Another thing, what do you think about this whole ALS challenge thing? Have you done that thing, Mike?
I'm not going to do that.
There you go. Good. Good.
Yeah, I'm not going to. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't wear polka dot. I got caught up in them finger waves and trying to be eight ball and a few players I knew. But it's a few things I'm not going to do. You know what I mean? We got folks starving and need food right here in the Caribbean, a place like, you know, it's Central Africa. Like, I can't pull no ice board on. I can't do that. But I wish everybody who does it, I hope that helps. I've seen a clever meme that says, you're doing the ALS challenge, your grandmama died of diabetes. Yeah. And that definitely keeps my big butt walking on the treadmill. So I'm going to encourage everybody to have your sugar check, man, and take care of some of them diseases too. But I ain't pouring no ice water on my head.
Exactly. I got a real big bone to pick with a lot of brothers doing that ice challenge thing, man. A real big bone to pick with them. But anyway, man, I'm going to let you get back to recording and everything, man. It was so good to have you call in, and I just wanted you to chop up game and just bring some intelligent insight and thought to the stuff that's going on around the country, especially with Ferguson, man. Man,
just allow me to say, man, you know, I know a lot of people with you and a lot of people disagree with you. Right on Twitter, I had someone who disagreed with some views of yours that cascaded me for it. The young lady ended up being a pleasurable young lady, and she and I had a favorable exchange in the end. Didn't necessarily win her over. She didn't win me over. But I just want to say my firm support is behind you for what you have been able to do in regards to the Living Colors 1, 2, and 3. When people tell me things like, you know, you're thinking and get past those poo-poo, you know, compliments they give you, like a black man when educated in public school and know how to speak as well as anyone else,
they
get to, well, how did you learn the things you're learning? I can honestly say that my spark and knowledge and love for black people and sense of self-worth started with catching game from brothers who had just come out of federal prison. Because my mom had a diverse group of friends that put me on the knowledge about myself, that put me on to Chance the Diop, they put me on to, you know, they put me on to Frederick Douglass, they put me on to Marcus Garvey, they put me on to Noble Drew Ali, they put me on to opening my mind up. It was them, and it was a place called a bumper junction. We used to go run errands for players and pimps and buy cigarettes for them and take them back. But they were the first people that started introducing me to, you know, you more than just some punk Negro kid running around here. And one brother, Cool Late, the Master Primal Lama, been on record with UGK, is known throughout Atlanta, a real player. Fatou Lace was one of the first brothers who used the Nation of Islam at the time who helped give me knowledge itself. So I just want to appreciate, because I know you get castigated, I know you get shut down, I know everyone doesn't agree with you, but to put yourself out and create a series like this so that young men who are in the trap, when they walk in from the trap and they sit in the house waiting for the police to leave the block, instead of watching some ignorance, they're sitting something, learning something about themselves, and hopefully they'll leave with a sense of nobility and better men. So thank you very much. Better men and women.
Much respect for that, man. I appreciate that all day, man. That's real talk right there, fam. Much respect to you, brother. Hey, man, I'm going to let you go do your thing, man. I'm going to hit you up on the private, but, man, let everybody know where they can find you, man. Give your Twitter and your Facebook out, fam.
Man, I do it very easy. I'm Killer Mike, TCO, like the car. Killer with the ER, Mike, M-I-K-E, GTO, like the car. That's me on all social media and formats.
There you go, man. All right, fam, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget the brand new Mackish package starting tomorrow. Got a lot of good goodies in the Mackish package. You're going to get that at TariqRadio.com. TariqRadio.com. There's going to be a button on top of the page that'll let you know where to get the Mackish package, and I will see all of you ladies and gentlemen on Ustream this Sunday. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. I'm a holler.